12. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for director of development. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Puberty is when you grow into your adult body, usually between 8 and 14 years old. All that growing brings changes that may make you feel scared, confused, excited, or all of the above. It's all good. You're just maturing. Puberty is a process that lasts years, hits differently for everybody, and can last till you're around 20. So how do the changes show up? You may get pimples, mostly on your face, but on your body too. Hair. The hair you have on your arms and legs may get thicker and darker, and you'll likely grow hair in new places, like your face, armpits, chest, and pubic area. Stretch marks are common too, a sign of your adult body taking shape. Physical changes, from body odor to growth spurts, are just part of the puberty story. All kinds of new feelings may come on too, like crushes and being sexually turned on. It's super common to feel like your emotions suddenly turn on and off, sad, angry, or irritated. No matter how you're feeling about all these changes to your body, remember that puberty is a normal part of growing up, and knowing what to expect can help to make it feel a lot less weird or stressful. Want to learn more? Go to PlannedParenthood.org/teens.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. Time is 6 o'clock. And I neglected to mention that we are broadcasting on 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. And it being 6 o'clock on a Tuesday means it's time for another episode of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Indeed, I am here with you tonight.
It's been nothing but exercise of frustration today. Every inanimate object you can imagine has rebelled against us. Everything gets in the way, and on top of all that, we're hurting ourselves. You smacked your hand into the table before.
I was giving the signal.
You give me a cue
to cut over to the next, and I didn't see a small table that you've been using to read stories from. A place to set things because you have so much under your.
Yeah, you don't have to get into why I need
control.
The table. Just suffice to say, I have a table and I use.
It's
a
normal thing, and then I usually put my hand down, but I had been looking at our clock, which is in the opposite direction.
Right, and feeling especially dramatic.
It was a whole mess.
Yeah, so you slammed your hand down, not knowing the table was there. This was the cue for a previous program, because in radio, that's what you do. You cue people visually, because sometimes your mic is live, and it's unfortunate that the table was there, but I didn't put it there. You put it there.
Yeah, and I don't think I broke anything, and I put some ice on it.
The table. You mean your hand? Yes.
My appendage.
But hopefully
yes.
The table's okay too. I mean, show some compassion for that inanimate object.
I don't think the table
that's one
has
inanimate object
to worry
that
about.
It didn't do anything to us. We kind of attacked it. But what did our printer just tell us?
Drum end soon.
Imagine you're going to get a news story, and your printer just has this three word exclamation, drum end soon. What is it, a caveman? Why does it talk like that? Why does it have to phrase it? I mean, it's kind of silly, don't you think?
It's a heads up.
And no, but it's an unnecessary heads up, because what do you mean drum end soon? There's nothing wrong with the drum. It's working, obviously. So I'll tell you when drum end.
I've been
in
the market for a drum.
It does the same thing with toner. You know, it says toner low when toner isn't low, and it still prints for another month. But sometimes it just turns it off and says, no, toner's done, and toner isn't done, and you have to override it. You've done that, right?
That is what I do.
Yeah. That's... So maybe drum end soon, you'll have to undo that somehow as well.
No, it checks out. Uh-huh. That's about right, yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tell me the drum. And, there are many instances where we just use these weird expressions, without proper grammar on highways. This is on highways, Route 27. It says begin Route 27, end Route 20. Why are you talking that way? Why are you making it like a command? What do you mean begin? I'm supposed to begin it?
I think they're dropping the word of.
Well, why? Of is a very tiny word. It was made tiny for exactly that reason, so that it could be slipped into almost anywhere. And by saying it, it confuses a lot of people in their cars when they are issued a command like that, and end. And I'm picking on Route 27, which is probably one of the longest roads on Long Island. But, I think the point stands. Let's words are gifts. We should use them more is my point. Some people tell me to use less words or no words at all. I know that. But I happen to think that, we should practice. It's good for us.
Honestly, the word of is a little selfish.
Why?
Well, I mean, do we really need the O? It could just be of.
I don't follow. You want to get rid of the O in of?
And of.
Why would you do that?
Whatever roadway?
Kyle, you need vowels, for God's sake. You need vowels. It reminds me, back in the days of The Voice of Long Island, we did a sketch called it's about this guy pushing the vowel movement, where basically... He wanted a world where there were less vowels, and it was amazing how much time could be saved by not using. I can't believe we're circling back to this. You can hear that sketch if you go on the 2600.com website, go into the radio, other shows, go to Voice of Long Island, and just search for it. All right, I can't help you any further than that. Or you could just search, I think, from the main webpage for vowel movement or whatever. You know what? We have more important things to talk about tonight. That game we just saw. Oh, wow. Okay. So if you don't know, Turkey has changed its name.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Slow down there.
The country formerly known as Turkey is now known as Turkey Yay. And I found out today why the Yay is there. because Turkey, yay, wow, what a game. Unbelievable. I'm sorry if anybody's watching Euro and didn't see the game yet, but boy, Turkey, so if you don't know, the birds, the turkeys that you see walking around here on Long Island sometimes, and occasionally they will chase you, them and the country turkey are related. I thought it was different. I thought it was just, you know, some kind of a coincidence. But apparently the turkeys, the birds are associated with that country somehow. I don't think it's the other way around. The country was getting more and more upset by this. They didn't want to be affiliated with these birds, so they changed their name. They changed the name of the entire country and the spelling and all that, at least in English. So you're supposed to pronounce it Turkey-A, or there's other ways of pronouncing it, but you're not supposed to say Turkey anymore. My proposal, just to mess with everybody, is to rename the birds too. So whenever we see birds crossing the street, I'm going to say, Kyle, look, some Turkey-A's are crossing the street. I mean, it's just, it's my nature just to mess with people, an entire country sometimes. But no, they did well today, and I was cheering them. I was going nuts. Euro 2024 is, of course, the football competition that takes place every 4 years in Europe amongst European countries, hence the name Euro 2024. Today we moved into the quarterfinals, which start Friday and end on Saturday. And, you know, it's sad because there's also a competition called Copa America, which takes place in the Western Hemisphere. And the United States, well, they were a part of that. They got eliminated. But why do they have them at the exact same time? You know, I would like to be able to watch Copa, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to give up Euro. I can't do both. So, you know, maybe move one a month ahead or behind. Can't be the hardest thing in the world to accomplish. All right. We're not really here to talk about football or inanimate objects or things like that. We are in a very serious time in our history, in our country, in our world, dare I say. There's a headline that was in The Nation yesterday, July 1st, 2024. Do you like to hear that headline, Kyle?
No.
And that's the show, folks. glad you could join us for this completely pointless program.
You asked. Yes, of course I do.
Wasn't a rhetorical question. What was a question where the answer is kind of scripted? I mean, it's literally scripted. You have your script.
What script? This is community
you,
radio.
You might as well not have a script. The way you're acting, you might as well be speaking off the cuff.
WUSB Stony Brook.
We don't need a legal ID at 12 minutes after the hour. Save that for 7 o'clock, okay? Oh, you know what? FCC, we're good for the next hour, all right? So apply that to 7 o'clock, all right?
Continue. Good.
All right, thank you. I'll continue. So The Nation yesterday had this headline, "The President Can Now Assassinate You Officially." Yeah, that's a disturbing headline to read. And it came about because of the decision of Trump's court, formerly known as the Supreme Court, yesterday, where basically they concluded that a president has immunity as long as they're acting officially. And I think, you know, at first I didn't really get it. It sounded like a good thing. But then you have to ask yourself, what is an official act? Well, let's read some analysis here. Donald Trump won. The Supreme Court has ruled that presidents are entitled to absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts, then contended that pressuring the vice president and the Department of Justice to overthrow the government was an official act. Then said that talking to advisors or making public statements are official acts as well. And then determined that evidence of what presidents say and do cannot be used against them to establish that their acts are unofficial. So it sounds like they've set it up so that, yeah, official acts are protected, but you're not allowed to say that something isn't official. Yeah, you're prohibited from doing that. Now, the ruling from the Supreme Court was 6-3. It was written by Chief Justice John Roberts on a straight party line vote, all the Republican appointed justices joining to give the president the power of a king. Wow. While some parts of the federal indictment against Trump will be remanded down to the district court trial judge to determine whether any of Trump's actions were unofficial, Trump's victory in front of the Supreme Court is total. Essentially, all he has to do is claim that everything he did to plot a coup was part of his official duties, and the Supreme Court provided no clear method or evidentiary standard that can be used to challenge that presumption. And that, my friends, is the scary part of all this. And that is how we reach conclusions where we say, yes, the president can now assassinate you, or pretty much anyone. And, you know, it's not just hysterical editorial writers at The Nation saying this. It's also justices of the Supreme Court that are saying this. Regretfully, I don't have the quote here, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it.
You're referring to Justice Sotomayor's dissenting?
Yes. How do you spell Sotomayor? S-O-T-A-M-E-Y-E-R? Statement.
It was halting. Very, very stern. And this is in a decision that was, I believe, 6-3. Nine justices total.
That number sounds pretty insurmountable. But when you consider one justice leaves for whatever reason, I'm not going to embellish on that, but just is no longer on the Supreme Court. Well, and Biden appoints another Supreme Court justice who supposedly is not part of this Trump majority, then your number becomes 5-4 in their favor still. A second one leaves, and it's flipped, 5-4 on a more Democratic side. So, you know, 6-3 sounds like, you know, oh my God, it's 2-1, but all you need are two justices to be replaced. And this problem is solved. And it is a problem. It's not just a problem for liberals and Democrats. It's a problem for everybody. It's a problem for the future of this nation. This is unprecedented. This is just, I mean, people on all sides of the political spectrum, outside of the cult, and you know what I mean by the cult, they are super worried about this, super concerned. Look at it this way. We had one presidential resignation back in 1974. Certain Richard M. Nixon was forced to resign. Under this, he never would have resigned. He would have held on. He would have continued to do whatever he felt like doing. Criminal acts notwithstanding, official acts. That's what they are. He would have gotten away with it. That is the change. That is what has changed in our country in the past 2 days. And if that's not a cause for concern, you know, I question if you truly believe in what this country stands for or stood for. All right, so I have the Justice Sonia Sotomayor a statement here. It's S-O-T-O, by the way. The extraordinary rule has no basis in law. A 29-page dissent? I can't really read all that. But I'm going to click on the link. There's a lot here. Where do you begin? 29 pages. The court thus concludes that the president is absolutely immune from criminal prosecution for conduct within his exclusive sphere of constitutional authority. Trump is absolutely immune from prosecution for the alleged conduct involving his discussions with Justice Department officials and pretty much everything. I'm searching for the good parts. She says immune so many times that it's hard to get to the one that I want.
You don't want any of this, I don't think.
Well, I should have done this
what
earlier.
What you want to read.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it speaks to credibility, and if people are agreeing upon this system.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have faith in the system as it is, and when that's eroded, you're not left with the same level of credibility.
Yes, I found it, by the way. Okay, so looking beyond the fate of this particular prosecution, the long-term consequences of today's decision are stark. Again, this is from a Supreme Court justice. The court effectively creates a law-free zone around the president, upsetting the status quo that has existed since the founding. Capital F on founding. This new official acts immunity now lies about like a loaded weapon for any president that wishes to place his own interests, his own political survival, or his own financial gain above the interest of the nation. The president of the United States is the most powerful person in the country and possibly the world. When he uses his official powers in many ways, under the majority's reasoning, he now will be insulated from criminal prosecution. Orders the Navy's SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival? Immune. Organize a military coup to hold on to power? Immune. Takes a bribe in exchange for a pardon? Immune. Immune. She said that. Let the president violate the law. Let him exploit the trappings of his office for personal gain. Let him use his official power for evil ends. Because if he knew that he may one day face liability for breaking the law, he might not be as bold and fearless as we would like him to be. That is the majority's message today. Even if these nightmare scenarios never play out, and I pray they never do, the damage has been done. The relationship between the president and the people he serves has shifted irrevocably. In every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. All right, a couple of points here. First of all, why is it always SEAL Team 6 that is sent to assassinate? Are they the only ones that know how to do it? I mean, it just seems like it's putting a lot of pressure. You know, if you're a member of SEAL Team 6, it seems like you're being brought up all the time. Aren't there five other SEAL teams before SEAL Team 6, and who knows how many after? I admit I don't know a lot about the military.
It also sort of might take away from larger strategic priorities. You know, they have other tasks.
I imagine they do, yeah.
You know, doing errands for the president.
Mopping the deck or, you know, port side, whatever they do on boats. But yeah, you know, it's a serious. This is serious. I shouldn't be clowning around here. This is something that if you interpret this law the way they have interpreted this law or the ruling of the Supreme Court, he can do that. He can order Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political... Okay, so listen. Donald Trump is not the president now. God willing, he never will be. Right now, Joe Biden is the president. So what she is saying is that Joe Biden can order the Navy SEAL Team 6 to assassinate a political rival. Is she trying to help Joe here? Is she making some kind of a suggestion or something? Because, you know, I'm just saying this opportunity doesn't come along very often. We should just explore all possibilities. I mean, it's the Supreme Court telling us this, right?
Yeah, and I love that, and I want to be as... I mean, I think we're being a little cute in that. I get what you mean, and it's plain as can be, but...
They said it. I didn't say it. They said it.
You have to detach yourself because I think that's the way the law looks at this. And do not think about the particular politician, the candidate, the individual. Think of the office, right? The president can do this. Doesn't matter who she is.
Oh, nice.
That individual in that office can transgress in this way against its citizens without consequence in a sort of like extrajudicial way. The court has handed powers by defining it in this way to another branch of a government we agree upon. So the question in my mind is, do we agree on this any longer? Like, do you want to give the powers, including this, of the presidency validation. Do you want to participate in this system if it can transgress against you in this way and not be held to account? That's I think where it is. It's like, why would I give a leader the power to go against me if this leader disagrees? I'm supposed to disagree. That's the weird paradox here, is that we talk a big, long, breathy game about how we can say and do what we want. But here, when you're challenged for your free acts under this system to speak or act against policies or leadership or administrations you think should adhere to more ethical standards, mm-hmm. you're then targeted, and that breaks the sort of moral the contract with the populace, I think.
I'd like to read the closing words from Justice Sotomayor, because they really are well written, I think, and quite passionate. Never in the history of our republic has a president had reason to believe that he would be immune from criminal prosecution if he used the trappings of his office to violate the criminal law. Moving forward, however, all former presidents will be cloaked in such immunity. If the occupant of that office misuses official power for personal gain, the criminal law that the rest of us must abide will not provide a backstop. With fear for our democracy, I dissent. Now, what's particularly interesting here, this is something that should concern everybody, not just people who are anti-Trump. It should concern those who are pro-Trump just as much. And here's why. Right now, Trump is not president, as I mentioned. Now, do you want any president to have that kind of power to escape justice? If you believe Joe Biden is a criminal, well, do you think he should get away with it? You know, I personally don't think he is by a long stretch, but I know there are people who do. Do you want to give this kind of power to anybody on your side or on another side? You see, the reaction by Trump and his ilk, and we'll get to that in a moment, is celebration. Wow, this is a good thing. We're going to have unmitigated power, get away with all kinds of things. No, they don't say those words, but they say that this is a good thing. Everybody says that, including our own local representative, LaLotta, all the Republicans around. They're all saying that. Whereas the sitting president, Joe Biden, the sitting president, is condemning this decision, even though it gives him this power. He has this power right now, according to the Supreme Court. And he does not want that power. He's disgusted by that power, as are many, if not most Democrats. I guess most Democrats, absolutely. So what does that say? You know, it's one thing to get away with a crime yourself, but to change the way this country is structured so that anybody in that particular office will be able to get away with crimes. How do you defend that? It is a dark day. It's a dark period right now. And we have to fix it. Now, one way to fix it, obviously, is to keep these people as far away from power as possible. And hopefully the balance swings back so that more sane rulings come out of the Supreme Court. Right now, I'm just glad they're done for the year or for the summer or whenever they take their breaks for. I recommend skydiving. I recommend drinking heavily. I recommend just letting loose, especially you elder Supreme Court justices. Just live life to the fullest. Don't look back. We'll see you in the fall. Maybe not. Look, they say bump stocks are fine. No problem. Like, even Trump was against bump stocks. You know, the thing that turns non-machine guns into machine guns. What in God's name, what kind of lunatic do you have to be to say that's okay? But try bringing any kind of a weapon inside the Supreme Court. Oh, no, you can't do that. Why? Why can't you do that? Because it's dangerous. Because people's lives will be at risk. Yeah, rules for them. different rules for us. No. You can only do that for so long before people really, really have enough of it. And I don't know what it's going to take for, you know, the Milky Toast liberals to get off their asses and actually do something. But they will at some point. Push them far enough, and eventually they'll start a petition, and after that they'll rise up and object, and then maybe throw a tissue at you. They'll do something. Look, I have faith that people will rise up. I'm frustrated. Yes, I'm frustrated by the lack of action and progress and just unmitigated anger. Instead, trying to both sides every issue and say, well, you know, maybe we're not perfect on this. Look, we all know we're not perfect. We all know there's hypocrisies everywhere. But clearly there is a dark side and a light side, and you had better pick the light side if you don't want it all to go dark. Because that is what's going to happen with inaction. And I hate having to see that lesson learned over and over again at such a tremendous cost. I only hope we wake up. Now, what happened last Thursday, that was a shame. There's no question that Joe Biden did not do well on the debate. No question at all. And everybody in the media, the liberal media included, saw that and spoke to that. And that's the difference. You know, if it had been the other way around, people on Fox and Newsmax, they would have somehow been saying, oh, this was actually a good day and much better than the other guy. They would try and, you know, in pure Soviet style, try to make bad into good. But the Democrats saw bad and they said, that's bad. The media saw something that wasn't good and they reported it as such. The real issue now is, okay, what comes next? We saw a guy that didn't seem sure of himself. We saw a guy that seemed to be having trouble expressing himself. We saw a guy who looked old. He is old. They're both old. But there's no question, Trump was able to express himself more clearly than Biden. No question. But then, let's look at what was said. And when you listen to the things that Biden did say, and he did say quite a bit, actually. He did. Those are things that were expressed with anger, with passion, and things that I dare say most people would agree with. We were so distracted with how he was saying them, what he didn't say previously, what he looked like. But, you know, I got to tell you, how many of us could have done much better? No, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not saying that he didn't bomb and do a fairly poor job. But consider this. The President of the United States always has a full day. This was a debate 9 o'clock at night. Now, you know, for a guy of 81, that's pretty late. He probably was up at 6 a.m. Anybody would be fading around that time. So, you know, if you tell me that he wasn't at his best, but at another time of the day, he would have been a lot sharper, I might believe that. I might say, yeah, that sounds likely. But I think what really is significant is when you see how he speaks in front of crowds, how he speaks to a televised audience. And yeah, you can say he's reading from a teleprompter. True, he's reading from a teleprompter. But somebody who is suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's or any number of conditions that the elderly are prone to, they wouldn't be able to read with that kind of passion off of any teleprompter. So, you know, while that was not a good performance, to completely cast him aside as a result of that, I'm not sure that's fair. And it's especially not fair if you have people to help bolster your administration and you're not using them. I saw, you know, that night on various networks, Kamala Harris doing damage control, basically being interviewed. And I have to say, she was sharp. She was on point. She got everything. She was serious. And yet, everybody says, yeah, but she doesn't count. She's less popular than he is. Well, why is that? Why exactly is she less popular than Joe Biden? She's blamed for not establishing a presence. I don't think that's her decision. I don't think she said, you know what, I'm just going to be hidden and not say much. That is the administration telling her to remain in the shadows. Not atypical for vice presidents. Happens all the time. Watch the documentary Veep. That'll tell you how it works. Now, seeing her out there in a time of crisis, dealing with the situation, to me was inspirational. They need to use her more. She needs to be out there more. People need to see that there is a strong vice presidential holder of that office in the wings in case something does happen to Joe Biden. That we have somebody who gets it. Now, I know there's lots of people shouting at their radios, throwing their radios, doing all kinds of things, saying that she's not acceptable because of the things she's done in the past. But I challenge you, find me somebody who doesn't have something distasteful in their past, a former governor, a former senator, a former prosecutor, former whatever. Everybody has a history. And if Bernie Sanders were in that position, they'd find something on him too. We have to stop with that. We have to stop the purity test of everybody. Kamala Harris is who we have as vice president. We should use her as that. We should put her in the forefront, bolster her. And then the ticket does not seem so fragile. You know, these people who are going around saying, you know, Joe Biden has to resign now. And okay, well, if that happens, then Kamala Harris becomes president immediately. Okay, you know, I'm not sure if that's the best move, because all of a sudden you have to find another vice president, and you know, it's kind of awkward. Or you can have a strong ticket with two people. Each one has their strengths and weaknesses. I don't know. That's just the way I would do it. It seems like Democrats are too worried about their own political futures. You know, a lot of candidates are saying I might lose because Joe Biden is weak. No, not if you're strong. Not if you stand up for what you believe in. Not if you resonate with your people. So, who do we have here? Representative Lloyd Doggett. I'd never heard of him before, but he became the first Democrat in Congress to call for Biden's withdrawal from the 2024 race, based on one appearance. First in the party, I guess, you know, maybe there's some recognition factor there. He's from Texas. Okay, that might explain it. Sorry, Texas, but boy, you elect people that, I just don't have the words. He said that Biden should make the painful and difficult decision to withdraw. The decision you've apparently made already. My decision to make these strong reservations public is not done lightly, nor does it in any way diminish my respect for all that President Biden has achieved. Recognizing that, unlike Trump, President Biden's first commitment has always been to our country, not himself. I am hopeful that he will make the painful and difficult decision to withdraw. I respectfully call on him to do so. I offer absolutely no alternatives or ideas on how best to do this. You guys figure it out. Part of that was embellished. Yeah, you know, it's easy to say these things. But what's the solution? What's your idea? I presented mine. I think, you know, we have strong people in position in this country who can adequately represent, in fact, quite well, the points, the passions of our nation, of that particular administration. And they need to be out there more. People need to realize that Joe Biden isn't the whole deal. He needs to realize that. He needs to be able to realize that it's not all about him. He's the president, true, but there are other people involved, other people who make decisions, other people who carry out those decisions, and that's what we need to see. Now, you know, part of all this is that while Joe Biden expressed himself poorly, Donald Trump expressed himself clearly. And that, to me, is almost more beneficial to Biden than Biden's own words were. Because you heard the ugliness of Trump. Even the way he dealt with an obviously struggling opponent. It was disgusting. Not a bit of sympathy or any kind of human caring. Just disdain or mock confusion. And not somebody that I would trust in any position. So that was made abundantly clear. And I think anyone with sensitivity would have seen that, would have realized that. So yeah, while the Democrats have a problem, they have time to deal with it. Their convention is not until August. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. It's a good thing this happened in June and not in September or October. Then it would be a real crisis. Now it can only be a crisis if they refuse to do anything about it or pretend it isn't a crisis. But I think out of crises come opportunities and rejuvenation. And I truly believe Biden gets that and would support that. But yeah, I would have preferred a better performance, but it is what it is. And the guy is still expressing himself. He's still capable, and he's still got people around him who are making the right decisions.
I just think that the comparison, it was two different styles also. And I think the strategies for the way they were going to handle it just didn't really land, especially from the Democrats. Like Trump just insulted him and talked about the border. That was it. That's all he had to do, is bring everything back to the border and then get in whatever barbs he was going to like launch at him. But Biden was like trying to make all of these points and referring to notes. Trump didn't have to refer to anything because all he had to do is bring it back around to the border.
Actually, they weren't allowed to have notes, so I don't think he had notes on him. And that made
Biden
it,
didn't?
Nobody had notes. He could write things, but you weren't allowed to bring things with you. That was my understanding.
So maybe he wrote down points and was referring to them as they were talking to keep himself.
Yeah.
But again, my point is there was limited amount of time. He may be an older orator, so he's speaking slower. He's also parsing the things that someone's saying and gauging whether it's an actual rebut or if it's just insanity or whatever crazy stuff is being said in response to what his responses were. And like everybody searches for words and how to put things. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
What was funny,
I reach for thoughts. I want to like maintain, figure out what I'm saying.
What was funny was seeing the commentators afterwards who did the same thing themselves. They confused Trump with Biden.
Yeah.
They were struggling for words. They said the wrong words. It does happen to everybody. Absolutely. Sometimes it happens worse, but when you're on the stage like that, you know, it's, I've frozen up. I know what that's like. But is it really a fair thing to put somebody in a position where they're not allowed to have any resources? Which, you know, as president, you always have resources. You always have notes. You always have people you can consult. Do you make the right decisions then? Okay, you put him in this position where he had nothing and he flopped as a result.
Well, also, like, the rules that Biden was abiding by, like he was going along with all the strictures around timing and stuff. So if he got a signal or was, well, there's plenty of time where he had nothing else to say. That alone, that was that was hard and itself probably something to look at.
Right.
But there were other times when he was going beyond the time and could have continued speaking about trying to weave together points and mm-hmm. and logic in the face of this sort of the response and the basically the same response.
What it boils down to is that if your message is simple and filled with catchphrases and fear-mongering and hate, you don't need notes for that. You don't need much at all for that. Well, you can just keep saying the same thing over and over again in a loud voice. But if you have to think, if you have to basically calculate an answer to something that you're processing in your mind at that time, you're going to be seen as struggling more than somebody who is simply reciting off a narrative.
Yeah, and that, like, if it was kind of like charismatic Biden smiling and just responding to Trump's energy and not being as factual, but because like by citing so many facts, he tripped himself up mm-hmm. trying to be right about facts.
Right.
And like, I don't know, I was talking to you about this with like TV shows and how you watch it, and certain people, like, you have the intention of getting every detail, so you're really deeply like have the subject matter at depth. But what I was, my strategy is just like, well, I would watch it straight through, get what I get, what I don't get, or that I'm too like spaced out thinking about doing my laundry or whatever. Like, I don't get the things that stick out are what I remember. But like, if I get a name confused or something like that, is it really going to matter when I'm like, whatever, at a social engagement, at a cocktail party or whatever, talking to people about this show, yeah. and I have to have some in-depth knowledge, I'll get all the names wrong. I won't understand the uh-huh, plot.
Uh-huh.
And like, is that, like, to me personally, being judged on not having any of that factually down, like we live in some Big Bang Theory world, is insane. And I don't think that's a good measure of character. And anyone who judges you for like getting something absolutely right, like it's some kind of technical matter, is, I think, themselves not measuring people in a way that I think is worthwhile.
And I agree. I think the media was overly harsh as far as saying that, you know, Biden was completely incompetent as a result of that one performance, which, as you point out, if anybody is certainly capable of losing their train of thought, of panicking, of just not saying the right thing at the right moment. It's a very tough situation. Not making excuses. He definitely did badly, but does that define who he is? Look, we saw, you say he wasn't that passionate. I saw passion from him throughout. He did keep saying the idea, that he opened every sentence with the idea that you, but he was kind of like a lot of us, in awe and shock of what the kinds of things that Trump was saying and advocating for. So he kind of fell into a repetitious routine of just being outraged and indignant at those words and ideas. But when he got going, he had some very passionate things to say. People are also pointing at his expression, saying he looks like that, you know, elderly person who's wandered away from the home. Yeah, you know what? If you offend or outrage an elderly person, they're all going to look like that. They're all going to look a bit indignant and maybe even bewildered because they've never heard anything so stupid in their lives. You can't judge somebody based on the expression on their faces. For God's sake, listen to what they actually say. Listen to what they write. Listen to them in a variety of forums and backgrounds before you judge them. Judging them on the just one night, yeah, it was tough to watch, no question about that. But all that does is raise questions as to, okay, how can this be done better, and is he okay? And you know, based on what I've seen since then, he seems okay. He seems okay. That situation, I question more the people that put him in that situation, because weren't they practicing for days beforehand? And I wonder if it's something as simple as they were practicing in the afternoon and they did this at 9 o'clock at night when somebody's metabolism is completely different. You know, they need to be thinking this through a little better.
Well, and also have a plan for when he's not doing okay, if God forbid that is the case.
And that's what I'm talking
about.
That's
the question I think the media and people were probably better to focus on, because he's sort of stay committed to what he was committed to doing in this race. And if there is a strategy beyond that, let's let it surface, right? Let's make it known, and also have more time with the people that are around him. Like you were talking about the vice president, but I don't want to have any more opinions about any of this.
Well, I think we've expressed our opinions, but I want to get back to local representatives and the Supreme Court ruling yesterday, just to illustrate the difference in how people view this country and how much people care about this country. As mentioned, Supreme Court ruling that Trump or any president pretty much has complete immunity as long as they are acting officially, and acting officially apparently gets defined by the president himself. And you can't try to prove that something isn't official. It sounds ridiculous. But the 6-3 ruling said this: absolute immunity for official acts. Let's see what the reaction was on Long Island. Representative Anthony Esposito is a Republican from Island Park. He said this ruling reaffirms legal precedent and will better allow the national focus to center on President Trump's winning campaign. Okay, Anthony doesn't seem to realize that Trump is not president. Right now it's President Biden. So will you say this will better allow the national focus to center on President Biden's campaign, winning or not, that he has this absolute power now? Representative Tom Suozzi, Democrat, Glen Cove, who noted he was one of the last people to escape from the House as the mob approached on January 6th, said no elected official, including president, should be above the law. The Supreme Court is setting a dangerous precedent. This is a guy whose current president is of his party. He's not celebrating this. He's warning us about this. America must overcome the extremism and partisanship that has plagued our country and fueled events like the attack on our Capitol. Representative Nick LaLota, a Republican of Amityville who represents the district we are in right now, said America needs less politics in the courtroom and more focus on policy and presidential campaigns. Today's ruling helps that dichotomy and is a defeat for politically motivated prosecutors. I don't know what you're smoking down there, but this exactly is the opposite of that. It is going to fuel all kinds of politically motivated violations of the law, and it's going to paint a very dark future. And again, you know, are you extending this to the current president? Because I don't think you are. I don't think you believe that President Biden has the power that you believe President Trump has. A future President Trump should have. Representative Andrew Gabarino, Republican of Bayport, said absolutely nothing in response to queries from Newsday. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, said this is a sad day for America and a sad day for our democracy. The very basis of our judicial system is that no one is above the law. Treason or incitement of an insurrection should not be considered a core constitutional power afforded to a president. This disgraceful decision by the MAGA Supreme Court, which is comprised of 3 justices appointed by Mr. Trump himself, enables the former president to weaken our democracy by breaking the law. This decision undermines the credibility of the Supreme Court and suggests that political influence trumps all in our courts today. And, you know, just the fact that he appointed 3 justices and they almost always vote for something that he is in favor of, that speaks volumes. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, in a social media post on Twitter, quoted Justice Sonia Sotomayor's opinion in the case, and we already said that, so we're not going to say it again. And, of course, Representative Elise Stefanik, Republican of Charlottesville, potential vice presidential candidate for Trump. said today's Supreme Court decision is a historic victory for President Donald Trump, the Constitution, the rule of law, and the American people. The President of the United States must have immunity, like members of Congress and federal judges. Oh, you want immunity now, too. Wow, okay. I look forward to continuing to work with President Trump to ensure his victory and save America. Are you aware President Biden could have you snuffed out right now? According to Justice Sonia Sotomayor, yeah, he can assassinate you, and you support that. Yeah, think about your words. So that's where they stand on this particular situation. It's something to think about. Also, you know, there's another story that was in Newsday today. Long Island members of Congress expense for thousands under no receipt policy. Apparently, there's a new policy where members of Congress can expense things, and they don't have to. They don't have to show any receipts. Like, for instance, our friend Nick LaLota of Amityville, Republican, was reimbursed $29,595,000, the seventh most amongst New Yorkers. Representative Andrew Garabino, Republican of Bayport, received $20,482, the eighth most. Representative Tom Suozzi, Democrat of Glen Cove, did not file for expense reimbursements. Interesting. Whereas Representative Anthony Esposito, D'Esposito, Republican of Island Park, received $37,523 in reimbursements, the second most in the New York delegation. And at the top of the list is Representative Elise Stefanik again, chair of the House Republican Conference, $38,221 in reimbursed expenses. This is for meals, for all kinds of things that people don't have to show receipts for anymore. I think it shows you something about how much they care about the people they represent. I'm looking at that. The reason I'm struggling, I'm trying to find Democrats on here and how much they expensed, but I'm not finding them. It's not my fault, folks. It's not in the story. It's at least not in the front of the story. All the Republicans are expensing a lot. The Democrats apparently are not. I'll look into that a little further. Hopefully we can find something on their side, but boy, it's tough. Okay, you know, we're almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time. I want to talk about the French elections and that country's moving to the right. You know, I feel a little better about something happening over there because I feel they're better equipped to correct it a year or two down the road. I really worry about what's going to happen to us because we have this inability of righting the ship after we tip it over. So we have to pay attention. We have to take this seriously. And while it's great to watch Euro and all that, you also got to watch C-SPAN. Right, Kyle?
Words to live by.
And C-SPAN too sometimes. OTW at 2600.com. Let's go back to 1964. See you next week.
Bye.
Long distance information. Give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find a party to try to get in touch with me. She could not leave a number, but I know who place to call. Cause my uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who'd call me if I'm Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side, high up on the ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi Bridge. Last time I saw Marie, she was waving me goodbye with her ears.
three home drops on her cheek that trickled from her eye. But we were pulled apart because her mom did not agree and tore apart our happy home in Memphis, Tennessee. Help me, information, more than that I cannot add. Only that I miss her and all the fun we had. Marie is only 6 years old. Information, please. Try to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee.